So have you ever thought about starting your own nation? Many people have actually done it before, and they've done it here in Australia, and it's something that actually sounds really fascinating to me. Joining us to have a chat about micronations is Harry Hobbs, a senior lecturer at the University of Technology in Sydney. Harry, how are we doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's the way. So just quickly tell us, what is a micronation?
Yes, a micronation is really just a person or a group of people who have decided that they no longer want to follow the laws of the land, and they just declare themselves an independent country. Now, I should say, of course, that there isn't any legal basis for this, but nonetheless, these people act as if there is. They mint coins, they create passports, they compose national anthems, they design flags, and carry on as if they are their own independent country.
Now, the most famous one that I can think of is the Principality of Hutt River in Western Australia. They did it a few decades ago, didn't they?
They did. In 1970, Prince Leonard Casley, I should say Leonard Casley, of course, who became a prince when they seceded, he declared that his farm would become the new Principality of Hutt River. This was in protest against the introduction of wheat quotas, which were going to have an impact on his business.
He still had to follow the laws of the nation of Australia, though, didn't he?
He did, but Australia, for whatever reason, marks itself as a bit different from other countries. We often just allow people to do what they want to do, really. We're a bit more relaxed about it. And so he was brought into court a number of times for not voting or for not following particular laws related to native vegetation. He routinely ignored them. And often Australian courts or Australian government, the bureaucracies of the people charged with following or enforcing the law, kind of just let him off to an end of the day because it kind of was more hassle than it was worth. And so he kind of got away with a lot of things, really. Ultimately, he didn't get away with it all. And they've now had to sell the family farm to pay a $3 million tax bill because they never paid income tax for many, many years and all the income generated through tourism. But for a lot of time, they kind of just got away with it, really.
Harry, do you think they got away with it because it was just one guy? Whereas if thousands of us decided to declare our own nations within Australia, they might be thinking, oh, hang on, this is a bigger problem?
I think that's absolutely right. It was one guy who was 500 kilometres away from Perth, seen as eccentric, I think, rather than anything else.
Oh, that's a fair word for it. A very fair description, yes.
Some people are more dangerous than others, right?
And yeah.
So I don't think he was ever seen as being dangerous. He spent a lot of time really trying to get recognition. And so he'd write letters to the Queen, he'd write letters to the Australian government, to the Governor-General, to the Prime Minister, these sorts of people, hoping that he'd get a reply. And often he'd get a reply, you know, in the ordinary course of business, a public servant might reply and say, you know, thank you, Prince Leonard, for your letter. He would then put that up on his website and say, there you go, the government's recognised me.
If somebody wanted to declare themselves the emperor of a section of the Upper Hunter, is it a difficult process to go through to secede from the nation of Australia?
Well, legally, you're not actually allowed to secede. There's no constitutional right to secede, and the Constitution doesn't allow secession. So again, legally, there is no way to secede.
Right.
But many people have tried to do it, and certainly people up in Mudgee have done the same thing. The way they do it is they just sort of write a letter to the government and say, you know, we're not going to follow your laws anymore.
And the government, they do respond, or they just sort of like, well, we'll just put that one in the top drawer and we'll deal with it if it ever becomes a serious issue?
Yeah, often there's no response, obviously, and the people who do it then say, well, there you go, you've implicitly accepted my secession.
Right.
And other times they might say, thanks for your letter. And then people will point to that and say, well, there you go, you recognised it, you've accepted the secession. So again, there's no actual legal basis for it, but you can play around with it, really, have a lot of fun if you want to. And so a lot of people here who do micronations, I guess, they're not necessarily that committed to not paying tax, but maybe they just do it for the fun.
It certainly is an indication of Australia's, would you say, larrikin nature, that sometimes we just like to step out from the rules and jump up and down and make ourselves heard, and ultimately it doesn't hurt anybody.
I think so. And you think, if you look at the micronations that exist around Australia, really that is the overriding case. We've got someone in Mossman in Sydney here who seceded after 10 years of a fight with the local council about whether he could build a driveway or not.
And now can't believe he didn't declare war at that rate. Yeah, it's Mossman after all.
Well, exactly right. And so he went to Mossman Town Hall. He dressed himself in full regalia and handed in his notice of secession to the mayor of Mossman Council. I have read that his children are a little bit embarrassed by the royal titles he has bestowed on them, but he still continues to go around calling himself a prince.
A prince among men in Mossman. Well, it is a fascinating discussion, and I think it is amazing that Australia has a number of these micronations, and we'll have to keep an eye on any more of them popping up in different parts of our country. Harry Hobbs from the University of Technology, thank you very much for the chat today. I really appreciate it.
No trouble. Happy to be here.